Now, our guest interview this week is with a Canadian woodblock artist who insists that he isn't an artist because he doesn't create his own designs. Instead, he describes himself as being a printmaker, a craftsman working in collaboration with the famous artists of the Edo and Meiji period. Now, David Bull began his woodblock printing in the early 1980s while still living in Canada, and by 1986 he was ready to make a serious commitment. So he and his family moved to Japan. Now, as so many other expatriates, English teaching provided an income for him while he learned more about woodblock printing, and his skills quickly improved. In 1988, he set out on an ambitious project to produce a set of 100 prints depicting poets of old Japan using designs by the famous ukiyo-e artist Katsukawa Shunsho. At a pace of 10 prints a year, he finally completed the series in 1998 and is now working on his current series, the Suri Mono Albums, using the exact same techniques displayed in the ukiyo-e masterpieces of the Edo period.
Now, unlike the 40 or so other members of the Tokyo Association of Woodblock Printmaking Craftsmen, David does both the carving and the printing, which are traditionally considered to be two separate disciplines.
Yes, I think he's the only person who actually does this.
He believes that the whole and only purpose of printmaking is the creation of multiples and the dissemination of the message to as wide an audience as possible. And that's why he makes no limited editions, choosing instead to sell prints by subscription at a very affordable price, we have to say, about $60 a print. Arisa Izumi went along to his annual January exhibition to see his works, past and present, and to find out about his current theme, Surimono.
I am now in Shinjuku, a subcenter of Tokyo, visiting the mid-sized gallery where the exhibition of Mr. David Bull's woodblock prints is held. At the gallery, Mr. Bull has displayed approximately 40 prints on walls. Now, each of these prints contains a design of Japanese nature, including birds, flowers, or Mount Fuji, and or a portrait of beautiful women in kimonos, or just an ordinary man from 18th century Edo period Japan. Now, Mr. Bull welcomes every visitor and likely shares his time and knowledge of wood printmaking. And now I'd like to go ask him about the prints, too. Could you give us a little detail, a little bit of idea of what Surimono is? Maybe compare to ukiyo-e, because a lot of people may be familiar with that word.
Yes, okay. If I can do it without using too many Japanese words. Surimono simply means printed thing. So when we say Surimono, we just really mean prints. But the word is used for a kind of a genre inside ukiyo-e. So if you think about ukiyo-e is there, and one corner of ukiyo-e were the prints that were known as surimono. And the major difference is, back in the old days, most ukiyo-e was designed and produced with the idea that they would try and sell a lot of them. It was for business, of course. The publisher would... It might be a picture of an actor, it might be a courtesan, or it might have been a travel scene from Hiroshige. But their idea was, let's make this and sell a lot of them. It was business. But one corner of ukiyo-e, surimono, they were made with no idea of being sold. It wasn't for business. For example, there might be a poetry group of, say, 20 men, and each one would put down one of his favorite poems. They would then ask a designer, please design us a picture, and we'll put our poems together with this picture, and then we'll send it to some craftsman. They can carve and print it for us. Just make 20 copies. Then when it comes back, we will each take one home. We'll exchange and take one home. And these were sort of quite well-off men, quite rich men. So the idea wasn't to make money by selling it. The idea was for those men to preserve their poetry and make beautiful objects. So they paid all kinds of money to the carvers and printers to make beautiful, beautiful woodblock prints. And that's the genre that we now call surimono. And my own idea is not to try and preserve the old culture. I don't want to get into a long, long discussion about it, but simply for me, if something survives in the middle of society on its own efforts, it will be okay. So I have no motivation of, I must do this to preserve this old thing for future generations. I'm doing this because I like it. It makes beautiful objects, it provides a challenge to me, and the people who are collecting my work also like it. They love getting these beautiful objects at a reasonable price. So the two of us together, myself making it, and the collectors who are, you know, I don't know, consuming this product, with our, what can I say, kyoryoku, oh, I shouldn't speak Japanese, I'm sorry, with our strengths together, we will preserve this genre of surimono. But we are not simply trying to preserve it for the future. We are just trying to make it live now.
As I walk into this gallery, right immediately on my right, I see this latest series of Sirimono, which he has worked last year, 2002, and he has a set of 10 prints. Actually, the latest 10th print is currently on the work right now. Now, this is the print. It says, Haru no Akebono, which means, Mr. Bull?
It's the, you know, it's supposed to be the first dawn of the spring, the new year. This is a standard size. It's similar to what you call a shiban sudimono size. You know, the size of my work is determined by the traditional paper sizes. The men who are making paper make them in many standard sizes. And for example, this one, I take the standard size paper, cut it in 6 pieces, and that determines the size of these prints. Everything you see is based on traditional measurements and traditional... The whole thing is based on all traditional parts. So. The interesting point about this is, I know, this actually is near, it's 150 years old, the original design. But when you look at this, if I didn't tell you that, you would think this is a very modern picture. It really, it's like a piece of modern graphic art. And many people don't realize this, but many elements of Japanese traditional design are really very similar to modern art. And perhaps you've read about the impact when Japanese prints went to Europe. The European Impressionists were unbelievably impressed by some of these things. And this is the kind of print that they would have seen in Europe about 100 years ago. It made a beautiful impact on them.
So each month you chose a topic to work on, is that right?
Yes, it's not exactly each month because each year I make 10 prints. So it works out to about 5 weeks for each one. And what I do is I choose prints that, of course, have a seasonal viewpoint. In the spring, I send them a print that has a seasonal viewpoint for the spring. But also, from my own view, I like to choose prints that offer me a personal challenge. This next one you're looking at, I had to carve very, very delicate hairlines and a very delicate face. So it's a combination. I try and choose prints that will be interesting for the customers, for the collectors, but I also want to please myself. They're paying me to learn how to do woodblock printmaking, so I have to choose things that have a challenge for me. And each month, I do so.
And speaking of challenging piece, let me just skip a couple of these works. And these are all fantastic, by the way.
I understand. It's okay. I won't cry. Don't worry.
And as we come to, this is the seventh piece, right? It's the seventh piece that you worked on last year, 2002. And this is also, you told me before that this was a challenging piece to work on. And why is that?
It's the carving on this one. There's two aspects to it. One is that I had been waiting for a few years for this print, not just for my own skill to get better, but until I got a good piece of wood. If you'll notice, the lines are very, very finely and delicately carved, and I needed a really specially hard, delicate piece of wood that would do this. Last year, spring of last year, I guess, I got a good piece of wood, so I thought, that's it. The wood is here. My skill is perhaps at the right level. Let's give it a try. I did, and it worked out, I think, quite well.
Yeah, and before I go into any more details, I'm sorry. This is about two gods, two traditional Japanese gods.
I don't know if you call them gods. They're lucky symbols. People overseas perhaps know about them. The seven lucky, can you say gods? I don't know. Yeah, of course, they're two very famous. We have Hote with a very large sack and his friend Ebisu, who is always depicted as being a fisherman, and he fishes a lucky tai. In English, it's called a sea bream. They're about 1 centimeter high, and yes, eyes and nose and mouth, they each have little teeth, and the hairs, actually I measured, in each millimeter there are 5 hairs, so yes, it's very, very delicately carved.
Now, we have Mr. Ishihara, who is at this gallery, and he is knowing Mr. Bull for quite a years, I think. And can I ask you, which one of these Mr. Bull's work is your favorite?
今回は、布袋さんですね。
Okay, so he likes this one of these Japanese god figure on the print. Why is it your favorite?
あの、布袋さんの絵の周りのグランドというか背景が非常に
The background of the god's print is just so detailed, and he thinks that's fantastic technique of Mr. Bull's. Now let's have a listen from this young woman at the gallery. Her name is Ms. Oda.
そうですね。彼の作る作品は、日本人でもなかなか現代で出せないような現代。I'm
very interested and amazed by his own technique and the use of color and the detailed lines that no modern Japanese artist can bring back to life in these days. ありがとうございました。
ありがとうございました。
Could you tell me step by step what kind of procedures are needed to take in order to make one print of Suimono?
Really? You're going to give me a two-hour radio show to explain this? That's wonderful. Thank you very much. Where shall I start? Okay, I can't tell you everything, but I think obviously the overall process is easy to explain. The designer used to send in just a sketch with a pen. He drew it with a Japanese brush. Then in the publisher's place, somebody would take that sketch and make a neat copy in nice, fine, delicate lines with a brush. Imagine that copy now on very thin paper like tissue paper. You can see from the front, but if you flip it over, you can see from the back. So imagine now, take that thin paper and paste it down, face down, on a piece of hardwood. You can still see the design from the back. This goes to the carver. He now cuts away all the wood that is not the design. If there's a black line on the design, he leaves the wood there. He cuts away everything else. So when he's all finished and you wash away the paper, there's a wood block that has the design carved on it. Now, if you imagine, that goes to the printer now. He rubs ink all over this, puts a piece of paper on top, and then rubs the back carefully. When you take the paper off, you can see now those black lines printed onto the paper, and they will match almost exactly the original man's design. Now, that's the basic process. There's a few more steps, because if you want to do color prints, you have to have some more color blocks and things like that. But that's the basic process in a nutshell. See, I could do it with less than 2 hours. In the old Japanese tradition, carvers and printers were always different people. The publisher had the idea for a print. He sent it to someone who would do the design only. It came back to the publisher. He took the design, sent it to somebody who carved the blocks, then sent those blocks back to the publisher. The blocks then went out to a specialized printer, and he would do the printing. So they were talking about four people to make one print: the publisher to organize it, then the designer, carver, and printer. Now, in my case, out of those four jobs, I do three of them. I'm the publisher. I decide what to do. Now, I'm not a good artist, so I talk to a 200-year-old illustrator. I borrow his work. He doesn't mind. He's happy to have it made again. And then I myself carve it, and I print it. So I'm doing three of the four jobs.
So I assume that ever since you moved to Japan, you've been working on this wood block prints all these years, and never got lost interest in working this prints, or just never get tired of it, sick of it?
No. Some people look at my work and say, David, that's impossible. How can you sit there at your bench? There's 200 pieces of paper. You print red color on one. Then you rub it on the block, print red color on two. Rub it on the block, print red color number three. For 200 times. They say, don't you get bored? It looks like a robot's job. And from outside, it does. It looks like a robot's job. But the problem is, it's so difficult to do it carefully and neatly and smoothly that there's nothing, I don't know, what can I say? It's not full of stress, but I really must pay attention and do the job really carefully with all my attention. So it's not a lazy job at all. It's a very challenging job. But the more important point to make is that people look at my prints and they say, wow, David, this is wonderful. You're doing very good. And I say, thank you, but I know something they don't know. I've seen prints that were made 100 years ago by stupendously well-trained craftsmen. I'm nowhere near that level yet. So even though I've been doing this 20 years, I've climbed this far, and I'm very happy with what I'm doing, I still have a long, long, long way to climb. So it's always challenging and yet always fulfilling. Best of both worlds.
Now, I hear that you hold this such an exhibition of your work once every year in January. And what would you like people to see when they're looking at your work?
Of course, because this is in Tokyo, the people who are coming here are Japanese. This Japanese woodblock printmaking is their tradition, but it's been sort of dead for about 100 years since Meiji time. So modern Japanese people don't really understand what this is all about. They think they've seen woodblock prints. They think they know what woodblocks are. But because they have never seen them carefully displayed under the kind of nice light that they used to have in the old days, most people really don't understand the nuances or the beauty of a woodblock print. They may think, I've seen Hiroshige's picture, I know. But no, they don't really know what the beautiful object is. And every day here, people come here and say, David, thank you for showing us what we have lost. The beauty, hidden beauty, or the lost beauty of Japanese woodblock prints.
Wish you the best of luck, and I hope this exhibition ends in successful.
Thank you very much for coming. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Arisa Izumi talking to Canadian woodblock printmaker David Ball. Now, David, he was talking about delicate hairlines, and actually, he manages to carve four hairlines in 1 millimeter. So you're talking about really fine, delicate work here.
Extraordinary delicate work. And I really hope that everybody listening will have a chance to take a close look at his work. And I think you might be able to find him on the internet if you look, if you search. You might come up upon a website that'll show you some of his work. I've taken a look at the website. Very, very well presented. And it really allows you to take to go in closely and take a look at the work. Of course, it's on a computer screen, but better that than nothing at all.
Yes, David, he was talking about the proper way to display a woodblock print, and he hates the thought of putting up a woodblock print on the wall because he says that's just wallpaper. So the best thing to do, he says, is to take a print, take it close to a window, and admire it in natural light, and then you can admire it as for what it is, a three-dimensional piece of art.
Exactly.